Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. And I keep saying all new, and it is. It's all new, and we're constantly updating it. We unleashed a whole new version of it April 30th. I encourage you to go there today. And HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. And we also have a group of offices outside of Boston, Massachusetts as well. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700 and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants. And that's one of our guarantees. And also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk to effectively enter the market to find your next home with cash. And that's a very important thing in today's market. We still have a shortage of inventory, even though the economists are saying that we're nearing a balance of inventory in this country. That takes into consideration high-end real estate and low-end real estate, as well as the middle of the market, which is where most of us are. The middle of the market, there is a shortage of inventory. High end, there's an abundance of inventory. Low end is spotty. But the fact of the matter is the high end is oversupplied. The middle of the market is undersupplied. That gets you to balance in somebody's book, not mine. In any event, you want to be able to compete in that marketplace. And the best way to compete is effectively with cash. And the only way to do that is through the pre-purchase commitment, unless, of course, you have the cash lying around and you're ready to buy a house that way. So call Hunt Mortgage today, 633-3700, for personalized, customized, we like to call knock your socks off service. And we will knock your socks off because one other thing we're going to do for you that nobody else will do, we'll actually pay you to review your particular mortgage qualification if you've received one from another bank, just to make sure that you're getting that lowest rate and closing costs. And if we can't do anything for you, we'll give you a check for $50. Is that right, Linda?
Yeah, it's a gift card, actually, but same difference.
Same difference. Okay, good. Anyway, in any event, it's always worth a second look in today's marketplace, and that's what we're going to be talking about today because it's a very, very interesting time in the housing market. And don't forget, I should say the financing market and the housing market, obviously. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7, 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale in Buffalo, Niagara, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, Utica, Watertown, and even Phoenix, Arizona. Simply dial 716-631-4800. That's the Western New York number. Enter the street number of your house you want to know about, no matter who's listing it. This could be anybody's listing. The hotline will prompt you with a choice of street name. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property, all automatically, just that fast, anytime, in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other brokers. I drove by a sign the other day. It was quite artistic, but you'd have to stop, slam on your brakes, pull over, and then get out a magnifying glass to read everything on that sign. Don't worry about it. Just call 631-4800. If you can get the number of the house, that's all you need to know, and the rest will be supplied to you automatically and very quickly, faster than going to your phone or to your computer and typing in an address and trying to get the all the information. We are a very active real estate market, as I mentioned before, and it's an interesting time today, and that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. But before we get to that, I want to remind everybody that Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider for our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. And this is the first time in my memory where we won all four preseason games for the Bills, which is pretty interesting, including the great finish, which I had fallen asleep for the other night, which I'd given up. I figured it's just a preseason game. What do we really care? But anyway, it was a very interesting finish. Great to see the Bills starting off so strong. We hope that will continue into a undefeated season, which would be a wonderful thing. And the Sabres are getting ready to go on the ice, so that'll be exciting as well. We are broadcast live here in the studio, WBEN 930 AM. And if you'd like to participate in today's show, call us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, and star 930 if you're mobile. Those are all free calls. And you can even text us here at 30930. So text us or call us with whatever question you may have, and it's important that you listen today because it's a and participate if you'd like, because it's a time in the financing history which is most interesting. And to help me with this, the leading expert on mortgage financing in Western New York, Linda Malaya, the president of Hunt Mortgage. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Peter.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
As a guest, you're here as host sometimes.
Sometimes.
When I'm someplace else. I'm glad that you're able to sit in for me. But there's been a lot of, obviously, people are getting nervous right now out there. There's so much talk about, you know, a recession, and one of the indicators of recession coming, and just so our listeners know, when what we're going to talk about, at least initially here, actually happens, the recession, if it does happen, happens 24 to 30 months later.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's almost September 2019, so we'd be looking at the end of 2021, assuming this one indicator was truly an indicator of an upcoming recession. So let's look at that just for a second. What I'm talking about here is what's called, you know, an inversion, where the shorter term interest rate, bond interest rate, the yield, is actually higher than the longer term bond. So the 2-year is higher than the 10-year. They think this is some kind of bad sign. Why?
Well, because it's an indicator that bad things are happening, and so, you know,
what are those bad things?
Well, that interest rates, that you're going to be able to get a higher yield by investing in the longer term interest rates.
It's no longer true in the inversion, right?
Right.
Which says that you want to make a short term bet as opposed to a long term bet.
Right, and that flips everything upside down. Since 1956, every time there has been this inverted yield curve, we have gone into a recession. However,
but how long has that yield curve stayed inverted? And that's one of the keys, isn't it?
Right. There's two keys going on. One is that the yield curve inverts for, you know, an hour or a day, and then seems to go back to a more normalized curve. Which is different than any other situation we've had. So this is not a sustained inverted yield curve. Mm-hmm. That's number one. And then number two, I was reading something about the foreign purchase of securities issued by the Treasury has really increased. Because, again, what's that expression? In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. And so that is the U.S. economy. And so that foreign investors are flooding in to buy our treasuries, and that this is more about supply and demand than it is a recession coming.
So let's stop there for a second, because what you're referring to is what's going on in Europe, for example, where there's actually negative interest rates.
Right.
Japan.
I'm in trouble if that happens.
Yeah, really. That would be tough to be in the lending business if you're
nice knowing you.
If you're lending money to lose money.
Exactly.
I mean, there's other things you might want to do to lose money that might be more fun than that.
Yeah, sometimes I stumble into that, but
exactly. So, so the world is dragging us down, is what you're saying. The rest of the world.
Right. I think that there's a flight to safety in the United States, even if things go badly, they go, and this is probably not proper English, my apologies to all my former English teachers, but they go not as bad, less badly here in the United States. And so again, there's that flight to safety, and things are pretty unusual right now, and you're seeing unusual things. It's not to say that there won't be a recession. What's disturbing to me, though, is there's all this talk, and it's like we're talking ourselves into it, because right now the unemployment rate is low. Labor, so employment obviously is going up, unemployment obviously going down, and inflation is reasonably in check. Wages are rising modestly. It's all pointing to good things. It's just this occasional inverted yield curve that's making, and I suppose one could say, a certain someone's tweets are
trade talk.
Yeah, are really unsettling the market. Yes, and the trade talk, trade war, if you want to call it that, that is definitely upsetting the markets. There's no question of it. I mean, I don't know what the end result will be, but for the short term, it is definitely upsetting the markets.
Well, let's assume for a second that there is a deal in the trade negotiations, we'll call it, with China. And you know, who knows if and when that might happen. But let's say it does happen. That's going to take a lot of the pressure off.
Oh, I think it will. Yeah. I mean, I think it'll be a panacea.
But we do. But we have other issues trade-wise that mm-hmm. are resolved that we can't get Congress to act on, for example, approving the Mexico-Canada agreement that was negotiated a long time ago.
Right.
And I don't know if we're actually functioning under that right now or as if it's in place or it's just on paper somewhere. But the fact of life is the same thing could happen with the Chinese negotiations, really. We could make a deal and then it could just sit there unratified, if it's effectively a treaty of sorts, and then we got more delays in this whole thing.
And obviously by what's going on, I think there'd be a lot of motivation on the Democrat side to not ratify it. Obviously a recession will play into good results for them in the 2020 election, most mm-hmm. experts seem to feel. So, and there's such dysfunction in our government. It's just so disheartening, the dysfunction in the government.
It is disheartening, and not to pile on to that, but when you hear prominent citizens in this country saying, well, a recession will get rid of the president, so let's hope for a recession, I mean,
it's
crazy.
Sad.
It's crazy talk, because I don't see how any American, and one of the commentators said this morning, how anybody who has any real interest in the future of this country could hope for recession. I just can't see as that being a good thing. But let's assume we go down this road. Give us an idea what would happen to interest rates.
Well, interest rates during a recession will likely continue to fall because the Fed will. It's one of the ways the Fed has to get us out of a recession and stimulate the economy is to cut rates. It's anticipated they're going to do that with their next meeting, trying to be proactive about it. All signs point to it. The last time they met, there were signs that they would do it again, an interest rate cut. So, you know, for consumers who are safely in a job in an industry that is not, you know, terribly affected, it can be a good thing for interest rates. You know, your costs go down, your credit card costs, your home equity costs.
You're encouraged to invest.
Right, exactly.
And that's the good news.
Exactly.
And if people, and I guess that's one of the funky things in the economy right now is that because of all this talk of recession, some companies are pulling back a little bit and not investing, which I don't get. They're not cutting any staff. There's employment numbers keep going up. Unemployment keeps going down, as you mentioned earlier. But they're saying, well, gee, maybe I just won't build that new plant or something. Having said that, we are seeing more investment. We have been for a long time seeing, in the last couple of years anyway, more investment in manufacturing in this country, which is a very healthy thing. Let's talk about the attitude of people in the business and then customers. The attitude, very interestingly, this week I had a long discussion with a bunch of our very top people in the Capital District about their feelings about interest rates in the market and what their customers were saying. And this is what I heard. One of our top people said, I'm just so sick of talking about it because it's been, she said, years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, I was saying they can't stay this low, so you better buy now. Well, they stayed low. Then we had a little spike about 12, 14 months ago, but they've come right back down. And that little spike, everybody goes, oh boy, here it goes. Rates are going to go up. And that was right when the Fed had increased their rates again a year ago, December. And anyway, so there's all this nutty talk, but everybody's focused on something that never happened. And sometimes I feel the same way about this whole recession talk,
right?
That we're all getting nutsy about something that let's face it, recession's going to happen sometime in our future, but
right.
All the dynamics are pointing in a very positive direction, as you mentioned earlier. So what do you say to, because I asked, what are our customers saying? And the answer was, well, it's almost a non-event because interest rates are, you know, how much lower could they really go? And if they go that much lower, why? I mean, if I save a quarter of a point, am I going to wait to buy a house to save a quarter of a point? I mean, this in 15 years ago, we would have thought you're on drugs if you had thought that way.
Right.
So how do you see this playing out with both the people in the business and the customers that you talk to?
Yeah, I mean, when I speak to customers, their attitude seems to be prices are rising, and so this is a good investment. I want a place to put my family. Mostly, and I put that out of order, mostly when I'm talking to people, it's about the Rolling Stones song, Gimme Shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what your home is. The second thing is, and it's a good investment. And then it depends on the age of the buyer. The younger the buyer, the more they're yawning over these interest, like, yeah, ho-hum, you know. Oh, they're that high? I didn't even know they were that high. Where people my age are like, wow, aren't these rates great? This is fabulous. This mm-hmm. is wonderful. So I think it's about your life experience.
Mm-hmm.
And people are, as you said, the one thing I feel very badly about is how beaten up that middle income, middle price range buyer is. Because there's so little on the market. I was telling you that my dearest friend is in the market, and she finally bought a house a few days ago, and she was thrilled, and, you know, she had lost five houses, and the home inspection came in, and it was a mess.
The one she finally got.
Yeah. So she said to me, I love the house. It looks like Liberace decorated, but I love it. I'm like, okay.
I was actually in Liberace's home.
Were you really?
It's a museum.
How is it?
And if her house looks like that, God bless her. Anyway, we have a caller online, Linda. This is Harold from Youngstown. Harold, how can we help you?
Hi, Mr. Hunt. How are you this morning?
I'm well. How are you, Harold?
I'm a second caller. I'm doing very well.
Great.
I called you back in May, Mr. Hunt, and mm-hmm. I was wondering why there was no legal postings of Niagara County land transactions and how.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering if, I don't know if they're not posting them anymore or what the situation was.
Well, it's still a good question, Harold, and I wish I had a good answer for you. This is a county-by-county, city-by-city situation. In Erie County, they're in the newspaper. It's a matter of public record, and the newspaper chooses to go and take that information and publish it. Business First also publishes transfers after they happen, which is another source. I believe they include Niagara County in their transfers. So
doesn't the Home Finder publish? I was just looking at it this morning, but I'm always glancing at Erie County. Doesn't it have Niagara County anymore?
I believe it.
It actually hasn't had it since, I believe, like last May, like a year ago in May, actually. So it's,
I'll be darned. Hmm.
Well, you know,
I was wondering if maybe Niagara County was an embarrassment to Erie County in sales or.
you know what I'm going to do, Harold? And I don't know if I mentioned this last time you called, but I'm going to speak with our people in Niagara County and just find out what they know, because we have a primary position in that marketplace. And I think if anyone would know, our people would know. But let me check into that. And if you would, you can. Email me at peter.hunt@huntrealestate.com and just remind me if you would, and I'll get back to you.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and you guys have a great weekend.
You too.
You too,
thank
Harold.
You.
Thank you for calling.
Appreciate
it.
Well, that's interesting. I always look at Lancaster where I live, and then I look where my kids live, but I haven't looked at Niagara County. So they used to publish it. I wonder why they wouldn't.
I don't know. Maybe his suspicion is right. Maybe it's because of the lack of volume of transactions and perhaps the average
maybe.
Price range. But, you know, if you go to our Lewiston location and you look around there, it's
magnificent, robust.
Really, what's going on there. It's a really cool little town. Anyway, back to the matter at hand here. And you, I think, accurately pointed out what the demographic divergence in this
mm-hmm.
whole thing, that younger people, this has been their sole experience, low
right.
interest rates.
Right.
Us, not so young anymore. Well, I'll speak for myself. Anyway, those folks tend to look at this in with a bigger historical perspective, and in that perspective, we've seen some craziness.
Yes, we have.
And if we look at that craziness, I think most of us are thanking our stars that it looks the way it looks right now. And isn't this a great thing? And if you are an investor, even at investor rates, which tend to be a little higher, this still is a remarkable time.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Prices, yes, they've risen, but they are still very affordable in our areas that we're in. And interest rates are very low. This is a wonderful time to buy. I think what we're needing to do is somehow focus on helping people sell. I mean,
help encouraging them is what you're
that's
saying.
That's what I yeah, mean. Yeah, yeah that's mm-hmm. what I mean. I mean, I get it. You look at your house and you go, oh, man, I got to move. I got to do this. I got to do that. This isn't the right house for me. And then they're hearing about, like, my friend that's looking. I mean, she's almost made me, like, never want to move. You know, it's like it's a bad situation. It's really hard. And I find it very interesting what agents are doing with because there's a shortage. They're saying the house goes on the market on Tuesday. It's open on Wednesday, and we'll take bids on Thursday. And it's creating a frenzy. Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful for the seller. It's not wonderful for the buyer. And I'm not sure if there's any way to fix that. I mean, when I'm selling my house, I certainly want to get every dollar for it. But this bidding thing is, it's almost getting out of control.
Last couple weeks, we've been interviewing developers. They're doing, what kind of product they're bringing to market, why they're doing what they're doing, et cetera. And one of the things that, and there was an article in one of the papers locally about the demand for rental units and why that's the case. And one of the things that, and even our professionals are saying this to me to some extent, that people are saying, there's two kind of questions or thoughts that we hear too often. One is, it's easier to do nothing. Let's just stay where we are.
Right.
Gee, dear, you know, we've raised our kids here, blah, blah, blah. Let's just stay where we are. Let's fix the place up. You always want a new bathroom. I'll put a new bathroom. It's a lot cheaper than moving.
Right.
And so the home improvement guys are doing very well right now.
Very well.
Which is great, including landscapers, which is a nice thing.
There's one in particular that could be doing better. No, I'm kidding.
Well, yeah, I suppose everyone would say they could be doing better, but we know some are doing better than others. The other question is, where do I go?
Right.
Assuming I did get that right. offer that was so beautiful, like you described, that better right. than I ever expected, where do I go?
Right.
And I think this is a bigger problem, but it's really being answered kind of organically.
Mm-hmm.
I also had dinner recently with one of the developers and one of the largest developers in this country of what's known as 55 plus housing. And it, actually out in Arizona, is kind of interesting. They will put that right on the side of the building, 55 plus, which is just amazing. And these new buildings, we're going to come back and talk more about this, because the discussion of options is something I think we really need to have a more in-depth discussion of. And we'll be right back with more from our house series after these very important messages. Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona through our link, and also even into Massachusetts now. And the idea here, you could think, well, Zillow's got all that inventory. Well, Zillow gets it from after it's on our site. So we're there first. And by the way, with all due respect to Zillow, if a house sells and they don't take down off their website, doesn't matter. We are under obligation to make sure that information is deadly accurate. So the most accurate, up-to-date information on any house available in any of the markets we serve will be at our website, huntrealestate.com. You'll also find access to a complete set of homeownership services at huntrealestate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And for more information about our many exclusive programs, including the one that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, effectively buying the before but living the after, call 633-3700 and ask for details. And don't forget about what I said earlier. If you've already gone through the process of getting qualified for a loan and now you're in the process of looking for a home, you'll really want to call Hunt Mortgage at 633-3700 and ask about that second look program I mentioned earlier. We'll give you a real objective view of the offer that you have already received, and we'll compare it with everything else that's available in the market. And the worst that could happen is we're going to say, you know what, this is the best deal you're going to get, and we're going to have you a $50 gift card. I don't think there's a better way for you to get $50 that you could find anywhere on the planet right now.
So yeah, but most of the time we are finding a better rate and or lower cost and 50 pales in comparison. We're saving them thousands of dollars over the life of the loan, or we're saving them no less than $500 in closing costs. So
now that's a very, very interesting thing, because I think a lot of our listeners, if they watch TV or listen to the satellite radio, or they've got any kind of data feed, social media, whatever it might be, they're constantly getting pushed offers.
Yes.
from national lenders that are paying a lot of money for access to a nationwide marketplace, which has to be built into the cost of the loan someplace.
Right.
So as a practical matter, it makes a lot more sense to at least investigate a local mortgage broker, mortgage banker like us.
Right. Agreed. You know, there was a study done that shows that people don't shop typically for their mortgage. They mm-hmm. just call a lender. I'm puzzled by that, because that it's in most people's lives the largest financial transaction of your life, and something you're going to pay maybe for the next 30 years. Why wouldn't you take 5 minutes to shop it around a little bit?
Well, here's one of the things I hear, and you know, you might want to comment. What I hear often is that, well, that's where I've been doing my banking for 20 years.
Exactly.
You know, they know me already, right. So what the heck?
Right.
You know, especially if you're a business person.
Yes.
Because you may not want to expose yourself to everybody in the world.
Yes, and I get that a lot too, where people say, well, you know, I don't want to come to you because I know you and I don't want you to see my W-2s. You know, Peter, honestly, and I could swear on a stick of Bible, swear on the head of my children, I've never looked at anybody's, I don't take the mortgage application myself. I never look at anybody's income. It's of no interest to me. Mm-hmm. The only income I look at is my own, and sometimes I forget to do that. So, yeah, I get that every now and again.
I might look at that too.
Yeah, I think you do. I think you should.
Yeah, maybe. But you know, it's an interesting point, though, and I think it goes back to doing nothing is easier than moving.
Yes.
It's the same thing. Do I really want to go through this hassle? And a lot of people see the mortgage process largely because of what really has happened, particularly since the recession. You know, it's a little different process today.
It is a little different process, but the pendulum has also swung back to the middle quite a bit, and people don't realize that it's now a matter of some pretty standard documentation. At the height of the crisis, you know, just when things blew up, it really was very difficult to get a mortgage. And in some ways, I'm selfishly, that was good for us, because you really did need a professional holding your hand. It has gotten a little bit easier, but it is still, and we do what we can to make it as painless as possible. If you go onto our website, you can upload your W-2s, you can give a passcode, and we'll have limited access to grab the bank statements we need. If you are employed by a major corporation, we can grab your pay stubs. You know, you give us a password to do that, and we can make it pretty painless and pretty seamless.
And that's virtually the same as some of these nationally advertised programs.
As I like to say, the only difference between them, the national player, and us is that we don't pay for a celebrity spokesperson. You just get me. I'm a lot cheaper.
Wait a minute. What about me?
Oh, that's true, too. Okay. That's right. Well, okay. But I stand corrected.
But I'm cheap. That's the good news. Before we go any farther, and I want to come back to this whole issue of products and services, because I think it's important when rates become less and less of an issue, as we've already discussed. There's another phenomenon in the marketplace today that going to the issue of inventory, that is really prevalent in markets like Phoenix, Las Vegas, Florida, Texas, California, where people are saying, companies, well-funded companies, are going on television saying, you know what? You don't need to go through the hassle of putting your house on the market and paying commissions and all that stuff. Just sell it to us. We'll buy it right away. We'll give you an offer in 24, 36 hours, 48 hours, whatever their claim might be. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
They're called iBuyers. How do you see that affecting the market?
Going to
the inventory issue.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I'm going to be listing my house soon, and I looked around this morning and I went, oh my God, maybe I should just call somebody and say buy it, because the daunting, it's such a daunting task. So I get that. But you're giving up so much. And then these iBuyers are destroying the market because they're making these places rentals. So they are off the market forever.
Well, that's one group. The other group is the one that are flippers, basically.
Right.
And there's more flippers than there are buy and hold kind of investors.
Right.
And the buy and hold investors generally aren't interested in communities like Buffalo, Rochester,
right,
Syracuse, Albany, because of the mix of housing that we have.
Right.
There might be section or two that would be of interest to them, but it's a minority of the inventory,
right,
more product in the marketplace. A personal story, my daughter and son-in-law, my son-in-law's father passed away suddenly. He was a doctor, a very fine man, and his wife had passed away, unfortunately, a year or so earlier, and it was very sad. But they had a home that was a middle market home, very nice home in northern New Jersey. But like many people that might be listening to the show, they had 35, 40 years of stuff that was there. Well, all of a sudden now it's my daughter and son-in-law's problem. And I think maybe for a fleeting moment they thought about this, well, maybe I'll just dump the thing and get somebody to clean the house out and be done with it. So we talked about, not necessarily that option, but we talked about what the task was at hand. And it's been a ton of work, just like you said. You look around and say, oh my gosh, couldn't I just, somebody just take this off my hands. You deal with it, you'd get the junk guy and take care of the whole thing. But here's the difference. Because of the inventory issue that we talked about before, this is what shocks me about these, why anyone would take that choice. It took one day, first open house, sold.
Wow.
Three offers. And for full price. And it was not cheap, but it wasn't the very top end of the market. It wasn't the bottom end of the market. Right smack dab in the middle of this particular market. Now, they still have to clean it out, but that's where friends and family come in. And
yes.
And they're going to, they want to keep a lot of the furniture, so they're going to store. But it's not an over, yes, it's a few days of your life when it seems like it never ends, but then it ends. And
right,
then it's over with. And then
right,
closing takes place and you're done.
Right.
So, and what's the value of that? Some people say, you know, if they live cross country, that my daughter and son-in-law happen to be close to this, fairly close to this house, so it wasn't like they had to get in a plane and fly someplace.
Right.
Now that's where these services may,
right,
come in handy.
Right. You know, I wonder too. We don't have, and it's just maybe not the market here. But if you go down to Florida, as you know, you often buy these houses turnkey. You literally turn the key, and whatever is left in that house. You know, I bought a place in Sarasota, and there are pictures of the grandkids. So I leave them because I don't have any grandkids. So it's like, yeah, these are my pretend grandchildren. They're great.
It's like when you go to a store and buy a frame.
Yeah,
and
right.
There's a picture.
Leave the good-looking person
it
in it. Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of crazy. But we don't, you know, I wonder if we ever tried something like that. Are there any turnkey buyers for Buffalo? Probably not.
Well, in the second home market, there's a lot more turnkey buyers.
Yeah.
Because, you know, something's better than nothing.
Right.
And starting from scratch in a community you don't know and trying to buy right, all the right stuff, find a decorator, that kind of thing is daunting, I'm sure. But if the stuff is there, I mean, I bought a place like that in Ellicottville, for example. And after the first couple months, I said, what am I doing with
right,
this?
Right. I started chucking,
you know,
stuff, right?
Yeah. So I, you know, chucked it and we started over again. But we started over at our own pace.
Yeah.
We didn't have to buy everything that day.
But, you know, there's such a shortage out there. And again, I'm listening to buyers say, oh my, weep over how difficult it is. If we, I mean, I don't know if any of our agents would even entertain listing a house and letting the new buyer deal with this. I don't know if, I don't know, we should try it, see if it would work. I don't know.
Well, and on the backside of that, I want to remind our listeners that only through one of our professionals can they hear the phrase, we will sell your home or ERE will buy it. That's a seller security plan. Now, you might say, wait a minute, what do I need that for if my house is going to sell in 2 minutes? Well, here's why you might need it. Number one, it might not sell, okay,
right,
as fast as we think it is. And we do have houses that don't move as fast as we thought they would move. And in a community with varied housing like we have, you know, you can have two houses next door to each other that can be vastly different in value. It may make a lot of sense to put that underlying guarantee in place.
Right.
Even though it's months down the road,
right,
it allows you to go to the market at the and try to get the highest price you can.
Right.
And maybe then you consider leaving everything there, you know, just to make it.
I'm open to offers this afternoon after looking at it this morning.
You can give out your address and yeah. pick up a couple open house signs at one of our offices and sit there and wait with bated breath as someone approaches you with that full price offer.
Full price, cash.
If you'll move tomorrow.
Yeah.
In which case, back to the point I was making at the end of the last segment, you might want to look at one of these. You know, various, I mean, there's everything from ultra-cool loft-type things. There's so many opportunities today that didn't exist 5 years ago or 10 years ago that it's an opportunity. We'll be right back with more from our house tiers after these important messages. Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Hunt Mortgage is the home of many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment and also our second look program. Call today, 633-3700, and ask how you can participate and benefit from those programs before necessarily you go and get yourself committed someplace else and find out that you're overpaying. And in today's market, as we've been talking about, when interest rates are so low, all the other stuff, the fees and the other things associated with that loan, can mask effectively a lot more cost than what you see in there in an advertisement that might be an interest rate that seems so attractive. There's a lot more to it. And to help me with that in this discussion is Linda Malay, the president of Hunt Mortgage. And you know, how much really can a lender stuff into all those other categories, and how confusing can it be for a buyer?
Very. And Peter, honestly, the one of the lenders that you see on TV constantly, and their name might rhyme with Quicken, their fees are staggering. I mean, I'm stunned when I look at, but people press that button and they don't, again, want to be bothered. They don't want to look. They often advertise a really great rate. But if you look, there's almost always points associated with it. And it kind of like when I see somebody going there, it's sort of my heart sinks for them. I mean, sometimes they're competitive, but most often they are not, in my observations. So they can stuff a lot in. They can stuff points in. They can stuff extra fees in. They can mislead you with the number of days that your rate is locked for. And these are all things that you need somebody professional to guide you through. You don't get a mortgage once, but every X number of years, 7, 10, 20, in my case, 27. You need somebody to guide you through it. And I'll tell you what, in all honesty, I don't take the mortgage applications myself every day. I constantly have to go to the mortgage consultants and go, what's the rule on this now? What's the rule on that now? I mean, there's so many moving parts to it. It's not even funny. So you're going to get competitive rates. You're going to get competitive costs, and you're going to get a professional guiding you through this process with us. And if you're going somewhere else, again, we'll look at it and we'll say, that's the best deal we've seen. Here's your $50 gift card. Or we'll say, we can save you $500 there. We can lower the interest rate. And did you ever think about taking out a 25-year loan instead of a 30-year loan? Can save a little bit more there. Payment only goes up a few bucks. You save this much in interest. People go, I didn't think of that. Well, that's our job.
And that's why we call them consultants.
Exactly. Absolutely.
And this is the important distinction between the traditional loan officer, which most banks refer to their people as, and a true mortgage consultant. I've had many discussions with our people when they say that they met a family, a husband and wife, a single person, and the single person had a bunch of notions or a couple or whatever, a bunch of notions about what the market was like. And they say, well, don't you think this, and our mortgage, well, let's slow down a little bit and let's walk through a few things. And pretty soon we find out there's might be a credit issue, but we help them to cure that or at least put them on a path to getting what they want, which is a house or a refinance. We help them along the way. And sometimes that's not an instantaneous press a button and all of a sudden it's done kind of thing. And I think it'd be rather discouraging if I did that speedy deal and I pressed the button and they said, sorry.
Right.
Or we'll give you a loan, but it's going to be 3 points higher.
Right.
Because of your credit.
Yeah. And that's what they're also doing. They have a higher than average turndown rate because they do cherry pick quite a bit. So we have done several mortgages where people have been turned down by them, and we do them. And they're not bad by any stretch of the imagination, but they needed somebody to look and say, you need to pay this down. You need to go get a gift for a little bit more money. And how about if you do this, this, and this, we think we can, your credit score will go up, you know, things like that.
Back to the other issue we're talking about, and there's two things that there's been a lot written about and a lot of businesses created around. One is simply the value of convenience.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in a immediate, give me what I want right now economy, which is amazingly efficient. And that really is an answer to the issue of the value of convenience. If I can get it right now, I don't have to get in my car and go to the mall, I can, 2 o'clock in the morning, I can buy, you know, a pair of shoes and have them sent to me. If I don't like them, I just ship them back. Their shipping's free and all that stuff. It's the value of that convenience is huge.
Yes.
And this is why the whole retail world is changing.
Yes.
And it may be an indicator of why our practices are changing too.
Yes.
And to your point about the consultancy, that may be just a value of convenience that people just don't want to bother with.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, people want speed, and it's because I think the pace of our lives. I mean, our lives are pretty quick. And I also think young people are very focused on their phones. If they can't get it on their phones, they almost don't want it, you know, which you can get a mortgage through Hunt on your phone. God bless you doing it. It is a good system, but, you know, it's a different consumer.
And this goes to also going back year 2, 3, 4, 5, there was a lot written about what's called the experience economy and how people were seeking, you know, these experiences, hence the evolution of all the parks in Florida and every place else where you can go and have these massive experiences, put on some special goggles and sit in a chair that shakes you up and down, and all of a sudden you're in space or you're under the water someplace. And there's you know, enormous popularity to all that. And that really flies in the face of this value of convenience kind of thing, because value of convenience is give me it now, and I don't care about the experience. I just want to get what I need as fast as I need it. But this is also why, frankly, shopping malls and other retail outlets still exist, because people want that experience. For example, there's a company that was talked about, the CEO was on television this week, who they're an online seller of used clothing, and what they're doing now is they bought Nordstrom's.
Really?
I'm sorry, Lord and Taylor. Excuse me, not Nordstrom.
Oh, okay.
They bought Lord and Taylor.
Okay.
For like $100 and some odd million. Now, why did they do that? And this guy said something very interesting, and it's for the people still want to touch it and feel it. And that's our business is like that too. And giving up that touchy feely thing is costs real money in
right.
in our industry.
Right.
Costs real money. If I give up that mortgage consultant's experience, I don't even know how much money it's costing me in all those fees that you describe.
Right.
If I give up the real estate broker experience and just dump the house through an iBuyer program, I really don't know, but I've seen the contracts, and this is most interesting. The contracts say, here is the value of your home, okay? Here's the price. Oh, but here's the net price, and it's a staggering discount. It's a staggering discount, but they list all stuff, just like you're describing on the fees from some other lender. We've only got about 6 minutes left here, Linda, and I want to go back to the mortgage interest rate market and what you see going forward. Now, we talked about the recession earlier, what that might imply in terms of lower interest rates. What could change, assuming there is no recession, what do you see happening with interest rates? The Federal Reserve's they're making noises. They've been making noises for a while, but what do you see happening here? We're at what right now? What's a vanilla product today, and how do you see it moving?
Yeah, the interest rates are hovering. You know, I haven't looked at the retail rates in a while, but they're hovering around 4, I would guess, an APR of about 4. And I would see, if we do not go into a recession, then the Fed will likely not do their cuts. And if they don't do their cuts, interest rates will likely rise. But I don't see them rising dramatically.
Couldn't they lower rates in anticipation of, or an avoidance of a recession?
Well, that's what they're doing now.
Right.
I mean, there isn't a recession, and they're saying that they're going to lower rates so we don't go into one. But if the economic indicators are clear that we're not going into a recession, you could see them not cut rates.
And to your point about us being the one-eyed king. One-eyed person as being king of the,
yeah,
how are you,
yes,
termed it?
Right, so, never remembered. So, in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king. There,
okay, so, all right, so we're that one-eyed man.
We're the one-eyed man.
For a moment here. And if we kept our interest rates where they were even, that's going to create a greater flight of capital into our system, wouldn't you,
yeah,
say?
I would agree with that.
Which makes more money available in places like the mortgage market.
Yeah. I think that there just doesn't seem to be any way that the gloom and doom talk is going to stop, and so we're probably going to keep trying to talk ourselves into a recession, and so I think the Fed's going to continue to cut.
So basically what you're saying is that you don't see a lot of reason for things to change dramatically.
I do not.
And so if I'm considering buying, waiting will only cost me more in terms of the retail value of what I'm buying, correct?
I think so, and I think prices are going to continue to rise because there's no change, we don't think, in the balance of supply and demand.
Mm-hmm. So there's no reason for it to change.
Exactly. So
and one of those things that we've been trying to talk about is new construction. And there's still a vast shortage of new construction, and the value difference between something brand new and something existing still is great.
Yes, very much so.
And so we're in a position right now where acting now still makes the most sense.
Agreed.
Waiting for rates to come down is foolish.
It is.
And so even if that were to happen, how far could they go? Do you know what mortgage rates are like in Germany today?
I don't.
I wonder if they're also that low.
You know, I
can't imagine that.
No, I don't know. I mean, I was watching CNBC and they were talking about, I forget where they're negative interest rates.
Oh, I think it was in Scandinavia.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. I think that's what it was, too, Scandinavia, something like that.
Which is not nutty. I mean, what does that do to real estate market? I don't know.
They didn't say.
I don't understand.
Sometimes they're a little off in what they're reporting and on the real estate market in the United States, so sometimes I don't think they quite get it.
And they bring people on sometimes that I think are way above the fray, so to speak. So
yes.
So they're not really sensing what you and I might sense on a daily basis.
Right.
We've got a little over a minute left, Linda. How would our listeners engage with Hunt Mortgage and with you and perhaps or one of our mortgage consultants to learn more about what we've been talking about?
Well, you can call. Most of our mortgage consultants are working this weekend. We're always available. So you could call 716-633-3700. I'm extension 3106. If you want to leave me a message, tell me what you need. I'll get you out to the right mortgage consultant. You can also email me at lynda.mallia@huntmortgage.com.
All right, great. And in our last minute or two, if you were to give anybody advice right now, what would you say to do? I mean, would you encourage someone to stretch to get a house that might be a little more expensive, or would you encourage them to push a little harder on a house that may be available, even though it might not be perfect?
You know, Peter,
or something else.
That would be really specific to them. In other words, are you at the beginning of your career or the end of your career? Are you in a fairly recession-proof industry? I think if you're young with a young family, stretch like heck, get the family home, let the kids grow up in a neighborhood like that. I think that's a great thing to do.
Linda Mallia, president of Hunt Mortgage, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Peter.
I'd like to thank all our listeners and encourage you to have a safe and healthy and fun Labor Day weekend. We'll be back next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is Hunt Country.